Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There are times when it seems like almost everyone has a message that they want to deliver to us. Think about all of the ads and commercials that we see every day, whether it's billboards on the side of the highway or ads on breaks in television shows or sidebars or on the internet as we're browsing and reading. Junk mail still comes to us almost every day by regular mail. There are people who want to inform us, who want to convey a message to us. They want to tell us the facts. They want to straighten us out in the way that we think about certain things. The media brings messages with subtle power to persuade about matters that are both important and unimportant alike. What are we supposed to believe when we hear all those messages? Whom should we follow out of all those voices that we hear around us? Well, today we hear clearly in our sermon text from the voice of God the Father himself, listen to Jesus. Heed the words of Jesus when things are going well, and also when things are not going well, when times are dark and difficult in your life. Because God assures us that, yes, first in this life there is the cross, there is hardship and difficulty, suffering and persecution, but then he promises us the crown of glory. He revealed a glimpse of that glory to us here in the transfiguration of Jesus that we read about today. Does it seem a little bit strange to you that at this time when Jesus was revealing the splendor of his glory as the almighty, eternal God, that then when Moses and Elijah appeared, there was talk not about that glory and about his radiance and about the joy of heaven, but there was talk about Jesus' death. And that's what it means when it says in verse 31 that they were talking about his departure, his exodus, his going out, meaning departure from this life. What does Jesus' death have to do with the glory of his transfiguration? Actually, as we read and understand the Gospels and all of God's Word, we see that Jesus' suffering and death was indeed an integral part of his glory as God, as the true Son of God, the Savior. And so that's also a key for us to understanding the difficult times in our own lives. That there is, in this life, a mix of both suffering and splendor. Now, it shouldn't surprise us that life isn't always everything that we would like it to be. We should expect in our lives both bright days and dark days. Think about Job in the Old Testament, that man who suffered so greatly, losing all of his children in a tragic accident when they were all gathered together in one place, losing all of his material wealth, his flocks and herds, losing even his own physical health and his body being racked with great pain and agony as he was afflicted with painful sores all over his body. In the midst of all that suffering, Job's wife came to him and said, "Are you still being faithful to God? Why don't you just give up? Just curse God and die." And Job replied, "We accept the good that comes from God, don't we? Shouldn't we also accept the bad?" Really, that is life on this sinful, sin-tainted, sin-filled world. Sinful human beings, we are confused so often, we are frail and weak, even through the strength that God gives us through his word, through the faith that he has given us in Jesus as our Savior, yet we still have the old sinful nature weighing us down, trying to beat us down, attack our faith, lead us away from God and his promises. We stumble in our lives in so many ways, in so many different circumstances. Think about the three disciples who were there, even at this bright and glorious time of Jesus' transformation, shining with glory before their very eyes. We read in verse 32 that Peter and those who were with him were weighed down with sleep. How would that be possible at such a time of Jesus revealing his splendor and majesty as God? But yet, who among us is always attentive during our worship services, during this time when we are on the receiving end of perhaps not the great and invisible shining majesty and glory of God, but His glory, the glory of the message of His love and salvation through His Word? Who of us have never been drowsy during our own personal, individual time of prayer and devotion, whether it's early morning or late evening or during the afternoon in the middle of the day? But Jesus doesn't turn His back on His frail followers. He bears with them in spite of their confusion and folly. And we read about Peter's expression of that foolishness in verse 33. Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let's make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." And we read that the divinely inspired writer Luke knows that Peter did not realize what he was saying. He was just saying something just to say something. He wanted that moment to continue. Peter, we see, was thinking in earthly terms. He wanted to perpetuate the glory of that moment in that place where God had given them this wonderful vision. He wanted that to continue. He didn't want Moses and Elijah to leave. He didn't want that glory that Jesus was shining in that moment to go away. Of course, we know that that was not God's plan. That was not Jesus' plan. The glory and the meaning of that moment could not be fixed and frozen in time forever. Peter's well-meaning but foolish suggestion is typical. It's representative of the countless words that have been spoken by people with both with good and bad intentions. Much that is said and that is written on this earth by human beings is sadly devoid of solid thought, meaning, truth. These are words that ultimately have no lasting impact or influence. And all of us have spoken in that kind of way at times in our lives. We've all chattered aimlessly among our friends and family members, among our coworkers or classmates, even here at church. We've all heard other people talking like that, talking a lot, but actually saying very little of meaning or importance. Don't feel like you should always have something to say. There are times when silence is better than any speech or sound. We can all remember times when we had to correct ourselves for something that we said that was silly or stupid or even sinful. Yet we do not despair, because we walk by faith and not by sight. As great as the miracle of the transfiguration was, it did not immediately accomplish wonders and wonderful changes among Jesus' followers. We see that Jesus' disciples who were there at that time were still confused and afraid by what they saw. Peter's suggestion that they make tents and that they stay there on the mountain was just Peter talking for the sake of talking to fill up that void with some kind of speech or conversation, not really realizing what he was saying. And apparently, from what we read, at least recorded in these verses, James and John didn't have anything to say at all. No, God the Father himself had to explain for those disciples the meaning of this event, of the transfiguration of Jesus. God the Father told those disciples who Jesus really was, and he also told them what they were supposed to do with the knowledge of that truth. God the Father spoke of the one whose word would never fail. In verse 35 we read, "Then a voice came out of the cloud saying, 'This is my Son, whom I love. Listen to him.'" Today, we believers in Jesus can't see him visibly here on this earth among him as his disciples did. We must simply listen to his word. This is the one thing that is needed. Think about that event of, of Jesus at the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Jesus was there teaching, and Martha was busy making preparations, presumably for a meal to serve to Jesus and his followers, but Mary was sitting there listening to Jesus teach while she had that opportunity. And Martha came and complained to Jesus and said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister isn't helping me with all the preparations? Tell her to help me." And Jesus said, "What you're doing is not bad, but Mary's doing what is better. One thing is needed. Listen to Jesus." And so we see that the transfiguration of Jesus is more than just a miracle that happened once upon a time, almost 2,000 years ago. No, it has impact and meaning for us still today as the voice of God the Father revealed. And we see God showing us through sending Moses and Elijah to go and talk with Jesus there just how important this occasion was. Moses and Elijah were a reminder of the law and the prophets, God's word in the Old Testament to his people. And as we read the gospel books of the Bible, the life and teaching of Jesus, we see that Jesus himself also reiterates the law that God gave through Moses, the moral law, his will for all people of all time. Jesus teaches that we are to keep God's commandments in our mind, in our heart, and in all aspects of our lives. Jesus teaches that it's not enough that we just abstain from outwardly sinning against God's commands. In the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says, "Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." Now we know that we can't begin to even reach or get close to that point of perfection here on this earth because we still have a sinful nature living within us that struggles and fights against God's will and his commands. We aren't as we would like to be, as we should be. We are sinners, poor, miserable sinners. But Jesus was and is perfect, and he offers us his cleansing, his grace, his life, the forgiveness full and free of all of our sins. This is why his gospel is so sweet and precious. As the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 1, "The gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes." You and I today can't see that vision of Jesus in his glory. Yet we can hear his word here in church, at home, and in our own personal and family devotional reading from God's word. And we can treasure this message of his word in our hearts and minds and deep in our souls. We have Jesus' promise that he spoke in John chapter 6. "The Spirit is the one who gives life. The flesh does not help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit, and they are life." The words of Jesus create faith in our hearts and give us true wisdom. The words of Jesus guide us in our daily lives as no other words could possibly do. Words of Jesus give us assurance and strength from above, from our God. They enable us to face the devil and his temptations and to overcome those temptations and the temptations from within us of our own sinful nature. Jesus' promise of eternal life in his name is the only antidote that we have to the chilling fear of death that cripples and paralyzes so many people in the world around us. Think about Martin Luther, the namesake of our church and denomination. A man who faced down death for the sake of the truth of God's word. And he exhorted his fellow Christians to cling boldly to the word of God. He wrote this, "Learn what a treasure you have in the word of our Lord Jesus Christ, that there is no other help and aid against the devil, sin, and eternal death than to cling to the word of Christ, that is to believe his promise and to make bold to take him at his word." Don't depend on fortune tellers, on tarot cards. Don't spend your time seeking wisdom in looking at the stars and trying to decipher what they might mean for your life or looking at other people's interpretations of your astrological sign. Remember that even Peter, James, and John didn't know what to make of that true vision of Jesus at the time of his transfiguration. They were dependent also on the word of God. Even when they were there surrounded by the cloud of God's glory, when they saw that bright light shining from Jesus, think about the fact of how popular occult and mystical practices are today that try to find some secret, hidden spiritual truth and guidance for life. That's because people have turned away from Jesus and his truth in God's word. Isaiah warned God's people long ago in chapter 8 of Isaiah's book of prophecy. He exhorted them to go to the law and to the testimony, that is God's word. And he said, if people do not speak according to this word, there will be no dawn for them. They will forever be in the darkness of sin and of lack of faith and understanding of salvation and eternal life. Yes, we should listen to the truly important things that people in the world around us have to say. We should enjoy conversations with our family and friends. We should pay attention to the announcements and speeches and proclamations of our government leaders who generally we assume are trying to do what is best for us and for society. We need to hear those who speak such words as long as we're living here on this earth. Very often there are words of wisdom that are spoken that have saved lives and that have kept people from great folly and tragedy in this life. There are loving words that others around us speak that have brought bright hours and days of joy in our lives. But don't expect to find in the words of other people around us in this life to find a message of true life, of spiritual, eternal life, to find true deliverance or divine strength in any words of human, earthly wisdom. Regardless of whatever their stature and position in society might be, or their earthly prestige or wisdom or power, listen instead to Jesus. His words alone enable you to understand what you see and hear on this earth in this life. His words alone enable you to grasp the true meaning of any situation or sight or vision you may have. Jesus' words bring true light. They make you truly wise and strong. They never confuse us or fail us. Instead, they lead us to eternal life. Listen to Jesus. Amen.